Good evening. We're going to discuss a very contemporary halachic shaila that is contemporary because it applies nowadays, but it has only been a shaila for a number of years. The shaila is an ancient shaila, but the application is exceptional and has to do possibly, or maybe possibly not, with the fact that we are zocha to have Baruch Hashem Eretz Yisrael, and shlita on Eretz Yisrael. We'll see how that might bear a nafkamina to the fact that there is a government that might be in control of Eretz. So we'll see that's quoted where Shlomo Zalman will apply that svara, which we'll see soon. So the question is, Eilat is known for its beautiful coral reef. I've gone snorkeling there. Menachem, you went snorkeling there? No, you never went. Okay, I'll have to take my son snorkeling there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. But you're not allowed to snorkel. You're not allowed to swim on Yontif. So the question is, if you go to Eilat for Sukkot, for Pesach, for Shavuos, are you going to be keeping one day of Yontif, or are you going to be keeping 2 days of Yontif? Nafkamina, could you go snorkeling on second day Yontif? Is there a second day Yontif? I mean, what's the Shaila? The Shaila is there Eretz Yisrael or is it Chutz La'aretz? That's really our question.
This is a question only for those who are B'nai Yerushalayim.
That is correct. For those who are B'nai America who are visiting Eretz Yisrael and follow the Minhag HaKlal Yisrael that Klal Yisrael has had for the past few thousand years, then we would keep 2 days wherever we would go. But yes, there's a question for Israelis who very much do like to go to Eilat. I actually drove Beryl Wine home this afternoon from YU. He spoke at YU. I told him I was speaking about this tonight. He said, he had a good line. He said something about the reason why there's not such a big shaila of going to something. He had some funny joke about the fact that there are no Yom Tovim in the winter. The winter is when everybody likes to go, all the Israelis will go to Eilat in the winter, but there's no Yom Tovim in Eilat in the winter, so it's not such a shaila. Okay, so let's start. We have to begin really with the discussion of what are Taka the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. If it's included in Eretz Yisrael, good. If it's not included in Eretz Yisrael, then that probably is our answer. It's Chutz La'aretz or it's Eretz Yisrael, one or the other, right? We will see it is not so simple. But what will be simple is whether it's in Eretz Yisrael. Let's look at some Pesukim Bamidbar, Parshas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Daled. Zos Haaretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asher Tivu Lechem En Achala. Why does the Torah have to tell us where the Aretz is? Zokt Rashi, Shaharbi Mitzvos Noagos Baaretz, Veinoagos Bechutz La'aretz. So therefore the Torah has to tell you which are the borders of Eretz Yisrael, so you know whether the Mitzvos Hatzlius Baaretz apply or don't apply. So let's get into some of the borders. In Pasuk Gimel, Vayalachem Pa'as Negev, the southern border, Mimidbar Tzin, Ayidei Adom, it's on the bottom, the southeast corner. Vayalachem Gvul Negev, this will be your southern border, Mikzeh Yam HaMelech Kedma. Starting from the southern tip of Yam HaMelech, that's going to be the bottom of Eretz Yisrael, according to the Torah. And then it's going to head, that will be the eastern border. That will be the eastern edge of the southern border. Correct. As Rashi explains, Ruach Deromis, Hashem HaMizrach. Now we're going to outline going from east, from the bottom tip of the Yam HaMelech, going towards, if you're facing a map, going leftwards towards Egypt, towards the Mediterranean. So what does the Torah say? This is where the border goes. V'nasalachem ha'gvul minegev l'ma'alei akrabim. That the border will go just around ma'alei akrabim. Now, without having a map in front of us, I will tell you what the potential possibilities of this pasuk is telling us. I don't know if I have this pasuk or another pasuk. There is a Wadi that had became famous, I believe, in 1967, Wadi El Arish. Wadi El Arish is a natural geological phenomenon, meaning it's been there for thousands of years. It's not a new thing. That's one opinion. This Wadi El Arish is the border, the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. Nachal Mitzrayim, which might be Wadi El Arish. If you have a picture of Eretz Yisrael, sort of draw a line, a crooked line, just around from the bottom of the tip of Yam HaMelech, of the Dead Sea, maybe a little bit more south, and then draw a line, basically a little crooked, that goes towards Egypt. The line would be well above Eilat. Eilat is well below this border according to just about all opinions, if not every opinion. There's no opinion that assumes that a lot that Eretz Yisrael does Baruch Hashem own now, nobody holds that it was part of what we'll call biblical or Eretz Yisrael that's described in the Chumash. Did, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, or in the time of David, did that Klal Yisrael annex as far south as Eilat? There are interesting psukim in all kinds of places, as explained by different Rishonim and Farshim, that may indicate some things yes, some things no, but it's certainly not a clear point. There's no definitive indication that Eilat should be in the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So at this point, let's assume that Eilat is not in the borders of any version of Eretz Yisrael, other than the modern state of Israel. So therefore, with that in mind, we're going to have to work with the famous Gemara that teaches us the foundations of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, which is source number 2. Of course, the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos question, whether Yom Tov should be 1 day or 2 days, starts with the fact that in the olden days, in the time of the Sanhedrin, the Rosh Chodesh was determined by Eidus that would be testified in the Beis HaMikdash, and then messages would be sent out from the Beis HaMikdash to the rest of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, and then outside of Eretz Yisrael as well, and that would tell them when they should make Yantif, 10 days later for Yom Kippur, 15 days later for Sukkot and Pesach, 6 days later for Shavuos. Let's look at the Gemara inside, because the end of the Gemara will be very important in our analysis. Shnei Yom and Tovim Shel Galuyos, where did they come from? Why is there Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos? Titanan. There's the Gemara in Beit Sadal and Amud Beis, source number 2. Barishona, originally, Hayumasian Masuos. They would lift up fires on the hilltops. My son and I are familiar with the drive through from Yerushalayim to Tveria on Kvish 90. Thank you. Towards Kvish 90, we pass the big mountaintops, the very high mountaintops below Yericho, where that mountaintop, what is it called? Not Yotvata. Sartova. And other such mountains that are mentioned in the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, well, we know where some of these mountains is. They're the tallest mountains going that would lead you all the way from Yerushalayim till Bavel. On the mountaintops, they would raise these, light the fires to indicate that the Beis Din had decided that it was a new month. Mishakilkula Kusim, right? The Kusim played games with us and they started lighting fires on mountaintops even when it was not Rosh Chodesh. Hiskinashi Yishluchim Yotz, they sent out messengers with secret codes, and based on these messengers, when the messenger with a secret code would arrive from Yerushalayim, they'd know that the Yerushalayim was Taka Mekudesh at whatever given day, says the Gemara. V'ilu Batlukusim Avdin Rechad Yoma V'hecha Dematu Shluchim Avdin Rechad Yoma. Wherever the Shluchim would arrive, they knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, therefore they knew exactly when Yantif was. If you know exactly when Yantif is, then you don't have to keep a second day. You know when Yantif is. He asks the Gemara, V'hashta, on the third line, V'hashta, di'adina b'kviya di'yarcha. We know when the kviyas of the yarach is, we know when the moons, we know when the new months are. Nowadays, we have a calendar. My time of din and treyome. Why do we have to still keep 2 days? I want to give you a little bit of history that the Ritva shares with us. If you look at page 2, the Ritva in Beitza, I'm sorry, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah of Chesem Ralev, I have it on towards the bottom of page 2, in the middle of source number 7 in the italics. The Ritva explains this line of the Gemara in the italics. What happened? Aval Achshav, you see the Ritva's Lashon italics on the bottom of page 2. Achshav is manazeh anu yodi b'kfir diyarch. He's explained the Gemara that we just mentioned. And nowadays we do know when Rosh Chodesh is. We have a calendar. Why? Shari omad Hillel Hazakein. Who and when was Hillel Hazakein? Says the Ritva. Hillel Hazakein was the Nasi Acharon Shehaya b'Yisrael. He was the final Nasi in that position of Nasius of Klal Yisrael. He was b'nosh Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Ben Benosha Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So there's two Rabbi Yehuda HaNasis. There's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who wrote the Mishnayos. His grandson was also Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And that son, meaning Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh's great-grandson, was Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken, so that's 3 generations after the Mishnayos were written, So we're talking, so Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, redacted the Mishnah, it's approximately the year 250 of the Common Era. We're talking three generations later. Let's assume we're around 350 of the Common Era. Around 350 of the Common Era, give or take 20, 30 years. What happened then? Kishira hasmichus misma etas. He realized that the people who have smicha, in order to be on the Beis Din, to paskin that there's Rosh Chodesh, you have to have smicha. If you have a Beis Din that doesn't, if you don't have a Beis Din of smuchim, of official people with official smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't do Kiddush HaChodesh. Once he saw that that institution of smicha was starting to weaken, there weren't as many people who had smicha, probably because of Roman persecution. Vishalo, and therefore Vishalo Yehel Yisrael Beis Din, and therefore if that happens, Bnei Yisrael won't have a Beis Din that could do Kiddush HaChodesh anymore. So keep in mind, Bnei Yisrael were Mekadosh LeChodesh after Churban HaBayis for another nearly 300 years, right? The Churban HaBayis was in 70 of the Common Era. We're talking about 350 of the Common Era. So 280 years later, they still were doing Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Re'iyah after Churban HaBayis for 280 years or so. So he realized, but it's going to, you know, he said he realized that it might not be able to continue too much longer. What did he do? Amad V'Iber Kol Hashanim. He calculated all of the future years, Al Pi Cheshbon. V'kidesh kol hachadoshim v'kol hamoados. There, at that time, in the year 350 of the Common Era, he sat down and figured out all the future months and all the future yamim tovim, and he was mekadesh all of them. This is you see what the Ritva says. What he says, and he explains himself. What do you mean? But it's how could he, in the year 350, paskin rosh chodesh for the year 2018 of the Common Era? Answers the Ritva, that's allowed. Kimi pnei adchak rashi lekav am kodem zmanam. Gemara Sanhedrin base says you're allowed to be mekadesh chodesh before the chodesh comes. V'gam shalal pi re'iyah. And the Gemara Sanhedrin says you could also do it shalal pi re'iyah. So he took advantage of both those leniencies and to save the institution of our calendar. And the Ritva continues in the dot 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 that I cut out. He says, and if not for him, who knows what would be for Klal Yisrael? So we owe him a great deal of gratitude, says the Ritva, for doing that. Okay, so coming back to our show, let's finish up source number two. So now that we know, based on Hillel Hazaken's calculations and established calendar, he asks the Gemara in the third line, my time of if the whole reason for the 2 days of Yontesh and Shogolios is that people didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, and therefore, if they didn't get the message in time, they didn't know when Yontif should be, so they had to be on the state. They had to practice 2 days Yontif out of Suffolk. So if we don't have a Suffolk anymore, we have a set calendar, why do we have Yontif Sheni? Answers the Gemara. This is the line that we're going to talk about tonight. Mishun Deshachem Yisam. They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Hizaru b'minag avaseichem b'yadeichem. You guys in Chutz Laretz, better be careful with your minag of your cities. Why? Why do you have to carry on your minhag? Zimnin de gazru shmada, because maybe you're going to be in Galus. Maybe in Galus there'll be a shmad. Va'asile kilkule. Presumably that means you'll forget the calculation, you'll forget the calendar that Hillel HaZaken established, and if you'll forget it, you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to have no one yom tovimar. Just look at this line I underlined. What is he saying in this line? Are there two things or one thing here? In this line that I underlined. Hizarug b'mnaga v'seichem b'deichem, zirin gazru shmad v'asil kulkulay. It sounds like there's one point. The one point is you better continue what your minhag is. Why do you have to continue your minhag? Because there's a concern that you might forget about the real way to figure out Yomim Tovim, and therefore just keep on keeping 2 days just to protect yourselves. Okay. That's the Gemara. What I'd like to do now, it's going to be a little bit of a different kind of shiur tonight. I really just want to do two sources. We're going to have a Rambam, a bunch of halachas from the Rambam, and a Ritva. And that limud of the Rambam and the Ritva will yield two very different applications of what to do with the city of Eilat. We're going to come with very different conclusions. The Rambam gives us a very clear picture. This Rambam is very ma'arich, and he's very clear about giving you the whole history and the whole procedure, how we should figure out how many days Yom Tov should be in each city based on the different locations. And let's join me in source number 3. We're going to go through a whole bunch of Rambams and point out things as we go through the Rambams, and we'll see what Shitas Rambam will be. And after that, we'll look at the Ritva in depth, and we'll see what the Shitas Ritva will be, and then you'll see that they're totally different, one from another. Kisha says Rambam in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh Perek Hei. Kisha Hoista Sanhedrin Kayemes V'Kovan Al Hara'iya. When we had a Sanhedrin, Hoyu B'nei Eretz Yisrael V'Kovan Kol ha'mekomo shemagiyin aleim shluchei tishrei. You're going to see that when we talk about messengers that are sent from Yerushalayim, the Rambam is going to say anyone who could be reached within 10 days was a city that would keep one day of Yom Tov. Anybody that would be reached in more than 10 days would have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Where did these 10 days come from? 10 days is the amount of travel days that you have during Tishrei, because you can't travel to alert the rest of the Gola, the rest of Klal Yisrael, that it's Rosh Chodesh, on one day of Rosh Hashanah, on a Shabbos, on a day of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, maybe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, a Shabbos, and Yom Kippur. So, how many days do you have to travel before Pesach, before Sukkot? You have 10 days, because the 15th is already Sukkot, so you have 14 days before that. 4 of them were used up for holidays, that for Shabbos Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to travel. So there were 10 travel days. So therefore, whenever you had 10 travel, as far as you could get for 10 travel days, that was the area that would be reached that would know when to make Sukkot. So that's what he says here.
So that distance really doesn't tie into whether it's a part of Eretz Yisrael or not.
That's what we're going to discuss. You'll see what the Rambam is going to say about that. That's exactly where we're going. That will be a small part of where we're going. That's why he says the word Shluchei Tishrei, not Shluchei Nisan. Because Nisan, we only have whatever is in 10 days. Also, if whoever be reached by the messengers would have to make only Yom Tovim, only one day of Yom Tov. However, but the further locations, like in Persia, the Jews in Iran, right? The Jews in Iran are there since, how long have they been in there? The Iranians, the Persian Jews have been there since Bais Rishon, since Gaul's Bais Rishon. They've been there for, they've been there for 800 years before Hillel sat down to figure out what to do. So they were mamish, getting there, the entire 800 years of, 400 years of Bais Sheni, and another 300 years after Bais Sheni, those 700 years, they were getting messengers from Eretz Yisrael when Rosh Chodesh should be. And Iran, everyone knows the map now, because it's in the news all day long for the past week. You have Israel, then you have Syria, then you have Iraq, and then you get to Iran. And then where the Jews lived was a little bit, Iran is gigantic. So you have to pass through all of Syria, part of Eretz Israel, all of Syria, all of Iraq, which is much bigger than Syria, and a good part of Iran, which is much bigger than Syria and Iraq. So that's more than 10 days. So the Persians weren't getting all those Jews from Tehran, all those Jews from Mashhad and Esfahan, Hamadan, where Mordechai and Esther are buried. They didn't get their messages till it could be weeks later. So,
The
shluchim were sent out every month, but the amount of nevertheless, the cutoff was 10 days. Correct. Okay, so the people that were like in Iran, for example, in Bavel, would make 2 days misafik because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. Let's look at halacha. Hey, bizman hazeh she'ein sham Sanhedrin. We don't have Sanhedrin nowadays. So we would think that everybody should just follow the calendar. Aval, the next word is very important. Right? Somebody asked me this week. Somebody sent me a text message this week. He's a Rebbe, a very chashuv Rebbe of chashuv Talmidim. And he said, I got a question from a Talmud. Could you please send me in text form, in just a few lines, why do we keep Yom Tov Sheni? Everybody says, it's minhag, right? Minhag av asecha midecha, minhag av asecha midecha, minhag av asecha midecha. It sounds like it's a din. minhag, right? What is the lashon of the next word of the Rambam, which I underlined for you? Takonas chachamim hi sheizaru minhagam asam b'yadayim. Do you realize the gymnastics the Rambam just did? He just did a backwards flip. He took the Gemara that says minhagam asam b'yadayim. He says that it's a takana to follow your minhag. Isn't that funny? It's a takana to follow your minhag. That changes things a little bit. That ups the ante a little bit. It's not just a minhag. It's a takana that you have to follow the minhag. Okay, lefikach says the Rambam in Halacha Vav, koma kom shelo yushlichi tishrei magin elav. Any place that in the 10-day trip couldn't be reached by the shluchim. Let's talk about the Iranian, the people in Tehran. Yasu shnei yomim afil bizman hazeh. Certainly, America. Kemo shehayu osim bizman shebnei Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael shebnei eretz Yisrael kovan al reiyo. Just like they used to do when they had the Beis Hamikdash, they should do now. Because of this takana. However, Ubnei Eretz Yisrael bezman hazeh osim yom echad, and the Israelis, you see what lashon he uses? Sounds like he's talking about Eretz Yisrael. Anybody in Eretz Yisrael bezman hazeh osim yom echad will do one day. K'minhagam shemei olam la'asu shneyam, because Israelis only kept one day, so they'll continue to keep one day. Fine. Let's look at Halacha Tes. Now he's going to introduce something new. Until now, we've been talking about how far are you from Yerushalayim. Are you 10 days distance or more? Now he's going to introduce something new. Ein asiyas yom tov echad. This idea of doing one yontif or one day yontif or 2 days yontif, it's not totally on krevas hamakom, on closeness, on geographical proximity, a 10-day distance. Kate said, how so? I thought we've been saying whatever's within 10 days radius keeps one day, and anything past the 10-day radius has to keep 2 days. I'll tell you. Im yia makom beinu vein Yerushalayim malach hamisha yomim. Let's say there's a place 5 days away. O pachas shebevadi esher sheyagiyu lehen shluchim. A place that's 5 days, you and I would say, 5 days away is definitely going to keep one day, right? Because they are reached by the shluchim. Ein omrim she'an she'y makom ze osin yom tavecha. We're not necessarily going to say they should keep one day. Because, look at this, a new wrinkle that the Rambam introduces, I underlined it for you. Shema, lo yu hashluchim yotin limakom zeh. Maybe the shluchim didn't go to that city. Why not? Because there were no Jews there. V'pnei shelo hayu sham Yisrael. Va'achar shechazu l'kval ha'cheshbon. Maybe only later, Yashu sham Yisraelim shnei chayavim la'asa shnei yamim.
And if you know that there were, it's Alexandria.
That's clear. If you know it's within 10 days and there were Jews there, then it's you only keep one day.
When the Rambam was in Egypt, he kept only one day.
Correct. Okay. Correct. 100% correct. And he'll say that soon, I believe. He'll say that soon explicitly. If Alexandria is indeed 10-day walk from Yerushalayim. We'll see. Okay, but he's going to talk about it more explicitly. Well, he just said something incredible. He just said that the 10-day travel is not that you have to be 10 days away in order to keep only one day of Yontif. It's the fact that the Shlichim actually came to your city, which needs two things. A, that they have to be able to get there within 10 days, and B, that there were Jews there. There was a Jewish population at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's pause for a second. Let's say you have a city like
Tel Aviv.
No, let's not talk about Tel Aviv yet. We'll talk about that in like a minute. some city in Syria. And let's just assume there are no Jews there.
What?
I want a city that didn't have Jews.
You want to say there are no Jews?
No Jews, but still within a 10-day walk. What?
Petra.
Petra, great. Petra, fine. Petra's a gambling place. Nobody, they gamble in Petra now, right? It's gambling in Jordan. All the Israelis go to Jordan to gamble now, right? It's Petra, casino? Yeah, okay. So it's not a place for good Jewish boys, right? Like, just like Las Vegas isn't, even though there's a burgeoning Jewish community in Las Vegas. So Petra. Petra is within 10-day walk from Yerushalayim. And let's assume, but it's, there are no Jews there. So according to the Rambam, how many days would you have to keep in Petra? Well, Shluchim didn't come, so you keep 2 days. So the point is not the distance. The point is that Shluchim got there. In order for Shluchim to get there, it has to be within the distance, but it also has to be a Jewish community. I wrote here a briskerev. I heard on a tape. Who was I listening to? A lot of times what I do, when I'm preparing a shiur for Thursday night and I'm working this week myself, during the course of the week while I'm driving, I try to listen to shiurim on the topic also to sort of hear what other people say. I heard, I think from Rabbi Rakefet, has a tape on this. He comes here every July to speak, every summer. He worked through the Sugya B'iyun, and he quotes a minute from the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav was Machmir in Geula. How far is Geula from the Beis Hamikdash?
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Geula.
You know, like Me'esh Arim and Geula? It's about a 14-minute walk, an 18-minute walk.
Yeah.
He was Machpid to not do Malach on Yantuf Shein Shel Galius. He was Machpid for Yantuf Shein Shel Galius in Geula. Why? Because of this Rambam we just learned. He said, how do we know that Jews lived right over here in Geula? We know they lived in the Old City. Good. Maybe they lived some other place in Jerusalem. How do you know that they lived in Geula? How do you know they lived in Me'esh Arim? Me'esh Arim is just like Far Rockaway. It's just like Lawrence. It's just like Moscow. How do you know Jews live there? Is that wild? Is that a wild chumrah?
Who said the Rambam's talking about in Eretz
Yisrael? Rambam specifically is not talking about in Eretz
Yisrael.
We'll get there. Okay, fine. So he'll say it explicitly. He'll say it explicitly.
He says this.
But maybe, no, that's not clear, because that could be the part of Eretz Yisrael where Jews lived. That's not clear.
Communities that did not exist in the time of Beis HaMikdash, even though they're 2 minutes away from, or 10 minutes away from
That seems to be Shitas HaRambam. That seems to be Shitas HaRambam. The point that the Briska Rav was Mechadesh, that I think of Shlomo Zalman, and I think everybody else would assume not like that, is you think the Beis HaMikdash was there, and in Geula area, you don't think Jews lived there.
Right.
You think, it's like Wall Street is, whatever, I mean, you don't have to think of examples. The Beis HaMikdash is there, operational, functional, Jews are in control of Israel, and 15 minutes away, you don't think real estate is.
You go to Jackson.
Right, in Lakewood, they're already out in Jackson Township. Fine, those who have Lakewood connections understand that. Continues the Rambam. This relates to your question about the Rambam living in Alexandria. If it was just a matter of geographic proximity, all of Egypt would do one day. Why? Because all of Egypt is accessible within 10 days. If you travel to the Ashkelon route from Yerushalayim, which actually works, by the way, if you know Ashkelon's on the border a little bit south, south, so you just go straight. Yeah, you go straight down to Ashkelon, down to Gaza. That's the fastest way to get to Mitzrayim. Pretty much, it's almost the fastest way. It's 8 days max to get to Egypt. So therefore, why in Egypt why if we sit in Egypt, do we do 2 days? Maybe we did keep 2 days. Why? Not because it's too far away, but because maybe
no Jews.
In the time of the of Beis HaMikdash, there were no Jews in Alexandria. In the time of Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe he did keep one. That was in the time of the Gemara. Was that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah,
by Hashem. Okay, fine. Right? The flag that they waved was a Mishnah or a Gemara? It's a Braisa? Okay, great. And then he says, V'chein Rov Syria, the majority of Syria. Also, again, Syria is not so big, and Syria is right, you know, it's also within a 10-day. So again, if people didn't live there, so you're not going to be able to have one day Yanta. Nimsa. Fine. Let's go now to, I broke this Rambam into pieces. Let's go to source number 5 in this Rambam, which is the middle of Halach Yud Aleph. V'chol makom shebeino vein Yerushalayim, any place between there and Yerushalayim, malach asar yom b'shava pachas, 10 days or less, she'ev she'sha yishluchim aginilav, where it's possible, if that's the distance, if it's less than 10 days, so people might be able, the shliach might be able to arrive there. Roim. Now, this is where the words get a little bit difficult. Imosa makom me'eretz Yisrael, shahayu b'Yisrael b'shas ha'ra'iyah b'kibosheni. If it's in Israel, and there were Jewish people living there, Kagon, he gives some cities like Lod, Yavne, Tveria, then Osun lo yom echad. If it's within 10 days, and, sorry, if it's within 10 days, and Jews are living there, then it's one day. Vimosa makom misuria, Kagon sur, v'damesek, Ashkelon, what? Ashkelon's in Syria? Didn't he just say three halachas ago, Ashkelon's on the way to Mitzrayim? Maybe there were two Ashkelons. That's what some of the Achronim say, yeah. Omi chutzlaretz, or if it's in chutzlaretz, osa kminagav v'seim b'yadehem, im yom echad, im shnei yomim. You know what the Rambam just said? That there are going to be parts of chutzlaretz that will, someplace will keep one day, someplace will keep 2 days. That we're going to get in a minute. Yeah, he's going to say it explicitly in the next line. So I pointed out in the English that there are going to be cities in Syria, Damascus, I assume, where Jews were living in Damascus, should keep, Bizman Hazeh, one day of Pesach, one day of Yontif. We have to ask, we have to go to Ocean Parkway and Avenue S and ask the Syrians there, because their grandparents came from Damascus, I'm assuming, and ask them if they kept 1 day or 2 days Yontif, you know, just 40 years ago, before they moved on to Ocean Parkway. Let's see number 6. Halacha Yud Beis Nuramim. What about a place, Shebeinu Oven Yerushalayim Asar Yom HaPachos Me'asara, less than 10 days, V'Husturiyo Chutz La'aretz Ve'en La'minhag, if it's a place that doesn't have a minhag, so it's not going to be able to follow a minhag. Oh, and this is the punchline. Think a lot right now. Think a lot. Oshehi ir sheneschadsha b'midbar Eretz Yisrael, a new city in the desert of Eretz Yisrael, a.k.a. Eilat. O makom sheshachnu bo Yisrael ata, or it's a place that Jews just began settling more recently. Osen shnei yamim k'minhag rov ha'olam. In Eretz Yisrael, Ma'aleh Adumim, maybe, yeah. Ma'aleh Adumim has probably had a settlement. They didn't have a settlement there.
It's the middle of the desert.
Yeah, they didn't have a settlement. It's a good location. It's a strategic location. It's on a mountaintop. Okay. Osen Shnei. That's correct. The Siyam Shtalech was over there, right? Eretz Gezerah, you're saying.
Right.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. You were there. We did ATV in there. We went with our group, our summer program. We went ATVing in the desert, and they actually identify right outside of Meladim, and they identify what they believe was probably based on the measurements from Yerushalayim in the right direction, a configuration that would make sense. What they assume would be the Azazel Hill, Azazel Cliff. It was either that, or they just wanted to get money from Americans to go on their ATVing expedition. One of the two. So, we're both. So what do you see from here? You see that, according to the Shitas HaRambam, it sounds certainly from this very last halacha, a new city in the desert. Even if it is Eretz Yisrael. We said before, it's probably not Eretz Yisrael. But even if it would be in Eretz Yisrael, if you have a new city in the desert, that Jews never lived there, so that means the Shluchim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash didn't go there, not because they couldn't get there, but there was no reason to go there in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. They would follow. They would not have this one-day leniency. They would keep 2 days. The Shluchim never got there. According to Shitas HaRambam, it seems to be eminently clear that Eilat should be, according to Shitas HaRambam, 2 days of Yom Tov Shein Shel Galus.
Why can't you assume that this Zman HaMikdash, that this town did exist also?
That Jews lived in Eilat? Because it's so far away. It's hundreds of kilometers away from Yerushalayim. It's 250 kilometers away from Yerushalayim. And it was Edom. It belonged to Edom. It belonged to Edom. When Bnei Yisrael said that they want to walk through Edom, they said something about Eilat, Me'ilat of Etzion Gaver. We're not going to go. It was Eretz Edom. So it was clearly not a Jewish town, and it was 250 kilometers away from Yerushalayim. No reason to assume Jews ever lived there. And the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
But Shlomo Melech captured those areas.
That's a long discussion. That's a long discussion that I didn't have time to get into. That he didn't, he's not clear. So at this point, it seems that Shitas Rambam is that Eilat needs Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. That's where things are right now. Now, we finish the Rambam.
If there was one day that Jews did live in a place,
don't know.
Would that work?
Probably not. Okay, let's see source number 7. And source number 7 is the Ritva. The Ritva is going to ask a very simple question. And we'll see his answer, and we're going to come out with something very different than the Rambam. Says the Ritva and the Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, V'yishol Sheila Gedola. What bothers me about the Ritva assumes something that we who know what the map of Israel looks like might be bothered by. Chazal say that, how big is Eretz Yisrael?
400 parsa.
400 parsa times 400 parsa. A parsa is, how much is that? 400 parsa is 400 parsa. He says it's, Mahalach Esrim Yom Adam Ben Azra Parsa. Either way, it's a very large area. First of all, it's a square area, and Eretz Yisrael, as we know today, is not square, unless the shape of Eretz Yisrael is different then. Secondly, I mean, it includes more areas, but we know, I mean, the Torah says that the Jordan River is the easternmost border, so you can't get, it's between the Mediterranean and the Jordan, there ain't no 400 parsos there. So he's going to be using this as the calculation, and we know that the numbers don't work for the map that we know, so it's going to be a little bit difficult, but you'll see the lumdus, and the lumdus will perhaps still apply. Asks the Ritva something very simple. He says, it's impossible that all of Eretz Yisrael could be reached within 10 days. Funny, because the Rambam said the opposite,
that's
right?
That's true, because we go ahead and bring it right from...
Rambam said explicitly not that way.
Oh,
you're right. Yes, the Rambam, yes, the Ritva brings that proof. He says 15 days for people to go back home.
Yep.
Could, yes. 15 days to go back home, right. 15 days after the regular, you want to give people up to 15 days to go back home. Oh, like the scenic, it's like when you're driving away from vacation, you stop at the scenic overlooks. Right here? Okay, I'm not getting into that. Ask the Ritva a She'ela Gedola. He says, why are you, wherever the Shluchim got, that's as far as you would only have to keep one day, because the Shluchim informed the people exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. The problem was, even Eretz Yisrael, they should not have been able to reach all of Eretz Yisrael, because if Eretz Yisrael is 400 parsa by 400 parsa, that means, let's say Yerushalayim is smack in the middle, let's say. Let's imagine Yerushalayim is smack in the middle. That means there's a 200 parsa radius. How long does it take to walk 200 parsos? Says the Ritva. I'm sorry, 400 parsa, so there's a 200 parsa radius. And Shumalach Esrim Yom Adam. Which would be a 20-day walk. A normal person walks, because I'll say 10 parsas a day, so 200 parsa radius would be a 20-day walk, and that means to go from Yerushalayim till the edges, till the corners of Eretz Yisrael should take 20 days. That means there should be a good half of Eretz Yisrael that's not reached. So that's a good question. I hear that. Two things. First of all, horses also have to sleep, as do shlichim. Second of all, horse doesn't race continually for a 10-hour day. Meaning, horses know how to run, and they can run races, but they don't run like that continually. Right. So ask the Ritva, you and I know that Eretz Yisrael keeps one day, and Chutz La'aretz keeps 2 days. But according to my calculations, it seems that there are many parts of Eretz Yisrael that Shlichim did not arrive at by the end of 10 days. And therefore, why do those further parts of Eretz Yisrael not Why do those further parts of Israel only keep one day? The yes, there is a show, but the shluchim didn't reach that far. So why do they only keep one day? Now the Rambam told us, addressed this point, and he said, whoever said that Eretz Yisrael keeps one day, and Chutz La'aretz keeps 2 days, wherever Shluchim got, and if there were Jews there, kept one day, I don't care where you are, Israel, Chutz La'aretz, it doesn't matter. It's nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael per se, says the Rambam. It has to do with how far you are, where there are Jews there. The Ritva says, no, no, no. We know that Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. In fact, you know what the post can quote? Yom Tov Sheni Shel? Galios. There, the Lashon Chazal itself tells you there's a difference between diaspora versus Israel. The Ritva, I think, makes that point. So why does Chutz La'aretz all keep 2 days and Eretz Yisrael keep one day? So he says something interesting. I'll ask you one more question. Do we make a bracha on a minhag?
Yeah.
I spoke about this to Mincha Maariv this week regarding Rosh Chodesh. Ashkenazim do. Sfardim don't. The Shulchan Aruch says you don't make a bracha on a minhag. The Ritva was certainly Michachmei Sfard. He assumes that you don't make brachas on a minhag. If that's the case, he's also bothered by how in the world do you make brachas on all of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios? Minhag of Aseichem V'Yadeichem, right? It's a minhag. I told you that the Rambam weasled his way out of it because the Rambam said it's a takana to follow the minhag of your location. What? That's a takana. But I'm asking about a minhag. If the reason why we keep 2 days of chutzos is because of minhag of seichem v'deichem, you don't make brachas on a minhag. How can you make all those brachas on second day yontif if you're not going to make a bracha on a minhag? I'm not familiar with the Ran.
Says that basically, if you don't daven,
it'll be complete zilzul of yontif. I hear. I guess the Ritva doesn't hold from that. Okay. So what does the Ritva say? He says something interesting. I bolded it. He says, when Hillel HaZaken established the calendar, he did 2 things. He established the calendar for Eretz Yisrael, and he set a takana that in Chutz La'aretz, they should act as though they have no idea when the Rosh Chodesh is. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. When he made his takana, and he told us when the Cheshbon was for the rest of history, when all the Rosh Chodeshim was, when the Yom Tovim should be. Part of his takana was also that in Chutz La'aretz, you should act as though you have no idea when the Rosh Chodesh is. You have no idea when the calculation is. That's what it means. Hizaru b'minag avaseichem b'yadeichem, meaning act as though, continue doing what you've been doing until now, act as though you don't know how things really are. Act as though there was no Kviyas HaChodesh, what he gains by this, and we'll see how it will unfold in a minute, it's not a minhag, it's a takana. The takana was that you should do what? It's the same thing that the Rambam tried to do for us a few minutes before. Remember I told you that Rambam says it's a takana, the takana is to keep your minhag. So the Rambam, the Ritva is saying a similar thing. He says it's a takana, the takana is that those places outside of Eretz Yisrael should act as though?
So it's a synthetic minute.
The takana is for Eretz Yisrael one way, and takana is for Chutz La'aretz to ignore this calendar that Hillel HaZaken, this clarity that Hillel HaZaken brought to us. That means that takana in Chutz La'aretz is a real takana, and therefore you can make a bracha on Yatav Sheni. Okay, now with that, look at what he's going to do now. This is the punchline, source number 8, the last line, last part of the Ritva. Vavaseinu ha'yolahem minhagos shanos mishunim. There were different minhagim of how many days to keep, 1 day or 2 days of Yom Tov. V'yeshos in shnei yamim, v'yeshos in yom echad. Look at these 4 words. V'yesh lano leilech achar harov. B'chutz la'aretz, ruba hayos and beiz yamim la'olam. In Chutz La'aretz, most locations in Chutz La'aretz always had 2 days of yontif. So therefore, we're going to follow Rov. The takana was that we should follow Rov, and therefore, everybody, all of Chutz La'aretz should keep 2 days. Why does the majority of Chutz La'aretz keep 2 days originally? Shelo yimagin sham shluchim. Lefikach anu osim kan shnei yomim. That's why we in Galus keep 2 days. Bottom line of page 2. Aval barov Eretz Yisrael, the majority, vast majority of Eretz Yisrael was reached by the messengers, and therefore osim yom echad, v'osim gam kein hayom yom echad. Says there is something incredible. We're asked, the Rambam says, it depended on where the shluchim actually got. The Ritva says, I'm going to do something much neater. I don't care where they actually got or where they didn't get. Since most places outside of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't get that far, all of Chutz La'aretz should do 2 days. Since most places in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz that they did get, you should only do 1 day.
So what do we use as the borders of Eretz Yisrael today for this purpose? I mean, it sounds like he's also saying 2 days because a lot of that time was Chutz La'aretz, but today you consider it not.
That's what we have to discuss. That's where we're going to go. What you realize is what Shlomo Zalman realizes. Let me back up one moment. According to the Rambam, do I care whether you're in Israel or in Chutz La'aretz?
No.
All I care is how far away you are and was there Yishuv in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Eilat didn't have Yishuv. Eilat is 2 days. According to this Ritva, we have a whole new world. There's something called Eretz Yisrael, and there's something else called Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, I don't care if you did or didn't have Shalichim come to your town in, let's say, Beirut. Beirut is not far. Alexandria is not far. But you know what? They're part of an animal called, a gigantic animal called Golus, called Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, we'll follow Rov and we'll give all of those places, including a close place like Beirut and a close place like Alexandria in Egypt, we'll consider them to be, follow the Rov and we'll give them a din Chutz La'aretz of 2 days. And Eretz Yisrael, even if there's some place in Eretz Yisrael that's, let's say, very far away, let's say, as he thought in his question, that Eretz Yisrael is so gigantic and there are parts of Eretz Yisrael you can't reach. If it's part of Eretz Yisrael, most of Eretz Yisrael is reachable by the Shlichim, and therefore you will have only 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how do we define Eretz Yisrael now?
We wanted it to stay the same as the original. So it's the original Eretz Yisrael boundaries, whatever the same as was.
So that's what you're saying, and you're entitled to say that. We'll see. That won't help us so much with Eilat. Okay, we'll get there, So what we have here is a gigantic machlokas, by the way, between the Rambam and the Ritva. The Rambam holds that there are places in Eretz Yisrael that keep 2 days. There are places in Chutz La'aretz, like Beirut, that keeps 1 day. According to the Ritva, it's a clean slice. Which one do we paskin like? Who do we paskin like? Are there any places in Eretz Yisrael that keep 2 days? Are there any places in Chutz La'aretz that keep 1 day?
No.
So you'll tell me what you know, but let's see what life was like in the time of, the 1400s, the 1500s, the time of the Sefer Kaftav HaFerach. Kaftav HaFerach was a Sefer that wrote about his travels through Eretz Yisrael, and he records Minhagim of what he saw as he traveled. Vim Tomar, Sefer Kaftav HaFerach was talking about different people having different Minhagim. Maybe you worry about a certain thing that's like Kishtei Toros. And he says, don't be worried about people doing different things. V'hincha roa be'eretz Yisrael, look at the minhagim that he's recording. He's not telling you halachas. He's telling you historical observations. You know Marco Polo went traveling and wrote down what he saw? That's what you have here in the Sefer Kaftav HaFerach. Lud, top line, sha'osa yom echad miyom tov. The city of Lud in Eretz Yisrael has 1 day of Yontif. That makes sense. V'gas, gat, shulo elef v'chamesh milas ama. It's 1,500 amis away. It's a kilometer away. And guess what? They use 2 days of Yontif. Where is Gat?
Part of the Plishtim.
In the middle of Eretz Yisrael. It's Gat next to Lud. It's right near the airport. Right? It's right near the airport. He says two cities in Eretz Yisrael. One is a minhag to do 1 day. One is a minhag to do 2 days. Etc., etc., etc. What do you see from the Sefer Kaftav HaFerach? What was minhag of Klal Yisrael? You see like the Rambam. You see like the Rambam, that there are some cities in Eretz Yisrael that do 2 days. Nowadays, you're right. I agreed with what you all called out before, that nowadays we only know the difference between Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. You see, that wasn't the minhag of Kaftav HaFerach. The first person to really raise this issue was Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher. Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher was a Ger Chassid. Ger Chassid was an incredible Oyev Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the incredible encyclopedia of Torah Shlema, and he knew everything, Baal Peh. He knew Kol Torah Kulu Baal Peh. I believe he wanted to be Matir and Erev on Manhattan, not like Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was an Ili Yatzim, and he raised this question before 1948 in a periodical that he was the editor of called Degel HaTorah. Volume 1 of this periodical called Degel HaTorah, look at the right column. Baruch Hashem, or Bez Hashem, Warsaw. She'ela L'gdolei Torah. He's taking this as a shaila, throwing it out in this periodical to the Talmidei Chachamim of his generation in this periodical. He's just sort of fishing for guys, not guys, my dear esteemed Rabbanim who are reading this around the world, let me know what you think. There's a shaila that might come up soon. Look at this shaila. Moshavos v'ayaros. This is talking in the 19... He brought the Ger Rebbe to Eretz Yisrael during the war. So this is probably in the 20s and the 30s, when he's still in Warsaw, before he came to Eretz Yisrael.
You mean for visits?
No.
The Ger came in 1940. Right.
So he brought the Ger Rebbe in.
He was one of them.
I'm not saying he did it. I'm saying he was one of the people who... He was asked by the Ger Rebbe to establish the Ger... He was the Rosh Yeshiva, the first Ger Yeshiva, the Ger Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he was involved in bringing the Ger Rebbe, somehow involved. I don't know, maybe in a rabbinical sense, not in the lay sense. I don't know the details. Moshavos v'ayaros, shenis yastu mechadosh b'Eretz Yisrael. There are new cities and villages sprouting up in Eretz Yisrael. V'gam ha'asidim b'karvim Yisrael Hashem. There are going to be new cities that will b'Eretz Yisrael be established. Lis Yasev, that will be established. B'makum she'en shem yishuv. Gam enem besoch tchum shel eze yishuv. They're not, you know, they'll be sprouting up in new areas. Eich din anshe osan ha-moshavos, lini yantav sheni. What should be the din for those places? Look on the bottom, just jump down to the bottom. V'hirini bazeh levar levar lefinias daiti es tochna she'ela. He then goes on for four pages to say what he thinks. U'mevakish ani me'eis. I'll tell you what it says on the top of the next page. I thereby request from all the Gedolim and all the Rabbanim around the world, please write to me to tell me what you think. He's throwing out a shaila. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then he says, goes for four pages of what he thinks. One of the things that he points out is this machlok is Rambam and Ritva. I want to finish with Harib Shlomo Zalman. There are lots of poskim deal with this shaila. There's a Tzitz Eliezer, there's a talk about what Rabbi Yashiv hold. We're going to go through Rabbi Shlomo Zalman with one mahalach. But to start his tshuva, he really sets himself up for success with the first unrelated comment. And that is, whenever you have to make a decision, you have to know what kind of decision you're going to make. When you go to law, any lawyers here? We have a lawyer here. So when I went to jury duty, one of the questions that the lawyer asked to see if I would be a good juror for their case is, do I have a problem with the idea of beyond a reasonable doubt? Meaning, you don't have to prove something in an American court. It doesn't have to be true that he murdered or that he stole. It just has to be true beyond reasonable doubt that he murdered or that he stole. Help me.
Criminal
law, fine. I know you don't do criminal, but... Fine, okay. So you don't have to prove anything. It just has to be something that's beyond reasonable doubt. Meaning, when you're in a court of law in America, the parameters are you have to be able to prove something beyond a reasonable doubt. Okay, now we have a rabosa, we have a shaila. I have to figure out if a lat is supposed to have 1 day or 2 days. Do I have to prove that it has to be 1 day or 2 days? Or is it enough if I could make an argument, a logical argument that it would have to be 1 day or 2 days?
We have a little something to about on the kula. We have our own rules for resolving the doubt.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to take what you just said, and he's going to... Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to take what you just said and inject some steroids into that comment. Okay, let's see what he says. In source number 11. Nearly lahakdim... Second day Yontif is clearly only Darabanan. The Torah says only first day Yontif is Daraisa. Second day is clearly only Darabanan. Maybe it's even less than a Darabanan. Maybe it's only a minhag. Like the Lashon of the Gemara is minhag of a Sena B'yadena. We saw the Ritva and the Rambam said it's a minhag that they... It's a takana that you have to follow the minhag. Right? That was the brilliance of the Rambam and the Ritva make to do that, you know. heebie-jeebie. But let's look at this first introductory comment of the Reb Shlomo Zalman in source number 11. Nearly lahakna de b'chol sveika de minhaga. He's calling it a minhag. It's a suffix not only in deraisa, not only in derabbanan, but it's a suffix in a minhag. So what should you do? You should follow the din deraisa, follow the base din. Don't do that minhag. Hachanami linyan suffix yantav sheni, which is only that he introduced the word that the Rishon uses. It's only a takana to follow the minhag. Fine. So therefore, if it's a suffix, if you have to do the minhag, you don't have to do the minhag. It's a suffix on a derabbanan. And then he adds, look at what I underlined. Meaning, don't do the Yantav Sheni Shogalias. Don't just do what the Din Torah is. Din Torah is, Midoraisa, have one day of Yantav. And now look what he says, especially here by Yantav Sheni. Because in Yantav Sheni Shogalias, what's being from? You want to be really from? What's being from? Keeping Yantav Sheni?
Day and a half.
Or put on
tefillin. Day and a half.
Let's look. Befrat, lo shaya klala hachmir b'zeh misafik. You can't be machmir misafik. Sometimes you want to be from, you just be machmir. From here, being machmir here is not from. It's perhaps the opposite. Well, I came shekenegit, the opposite, the from kind of keeping yant sheni. Yeshchash shel kama tefilos ubrachas levatala. You're going to make shechion on the second night of the second seder. You're going to say shekhi shom is asavi sman alechilas matzah alechilas morar. You're going to make all those brachas levatol, all the tefillos, all the shemona esrei that you're going to daven on the Yantav Sheni, that it's a weekday at the end of Yantav, you're going to make it as a Yantav davening. Well, they're all brachas levatol. V'gam bitol mitzvah tefillin d'oraisa, day and a half won't help you with the tefillos of the brachas. With the tefillos of shemona esrei won't help you. So therefore, what's the goal, says Rav Shlomo Zalman? I don't have to convince you that it should be one day or 2 days. All I have to do is show you that it's a suffik. Once I show you that it's a suffix whether or not you should keep 1 or 2 days, what's going to be the default position? You're just going to keep 1 day. So that's all. He's setting himself up for success. He doesn't have to prove anything. All he has to do is sow seeds of doubt. And then he wins. All he has to do is show that there are going to be sveikas. That means he could use svaras now that you wouldn't be matur naguna with. He could say svaras that are not ironclad, but if it's enough to raise a doubt, he'll be able to be makel and say, just keep 1 day, not 2 days. And that's exactly what he's going to do. I want to show you the main svara that he says, because it's late. Look at source number 14. He suggests that we don't paskin like the Rambam, who says that it depends on how far you are. Some places in Eretz Yisrael should keep 2 days, some places in Chutz La'aretz should keep 1 day. Nobody does that. I know the Kafta Aferach said they did. But it says the Rav Shlomo, nowadays we follow the Ritva, Chutz La'aretz and America, Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ritva's opinion. It depends if you're Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. But what's the definition of Eretz Yisrael? Look at this, Rabbi Osai. If you weren't a Tzioni until now, now's the time to become Tzioni. Join with Shlomo Zalman and get on the bandwagon. Source number 14. Okay. Second line of source number 14. Da'af al gav shekedusha rishona batla. Even though we don't have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael from the time of Yoshua. Hainu rak le'inin ha-mitzvah satluyos baretz. That just means we don't have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael in terms of the mitzvos. Aval biyachas l'chashivas Eretz Yisrael kedushasa harei zechosh avade Eretz Yisrael gomer. You could have, what did he just say? He just said you could have Eretz Yisrael without Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. You could have a place that's special called Eretz Yisrael that doesn't have any mitzvahs atzilus baretz. Wow. That doesn't sound so Jewish. That sounds very nationalistic, though. What? Yeah. So you say there are different parts. Yeah, Avery Yardin, perhaps. They're considered Eretz Yisrael. There are no mitzvahs atzilus baretz, though. There's no mitzvahs. Bizman hazeh. Efsher. Tekulu kibnei Eretz Yisrael. Bizman hazeh. This is the last line, the punchline that we'll do. Bizman hazeh efshar tekulu kibnei Eretz Yisrael chashivi. Everybody in the present state of Israel is all considered Eretz Yisrael people, even the people in Eilat. Mibli lehis chashiv klal. Regardless, im yesh laosam emakom as din Eretz Yisrael, gam biyachas lamitzas atliyos baretz. Even if there are no mitzvahs atzilus baretz. Even if you tell me that Eilat has no Shemitah, has no trumas, has no maisers, which, by the way, is a gigantic sugya, not for now. But even if you say there's no kedusha, there's no mitzvahs in Eilat, nevertheless, look at the last line of source number 14. Kevan de lo mistaber klal, sheba osa medina, v'tachas oso shilton, yimatzei chelek mibnei medina, she'enam nigrorim achar cheshbon osa medina. How could you have one governmental authority, one authority that governs one a whole region, and say that one is called the land and one is not called the land? If there's one authority over the land...
There are large precedents for it.
What?
Fayanethem is the large precedent.
Hold on. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's not mistaber that you should have one state and one authority, and part of them are called the land and part of them are not called the land. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, again, this doesn't have to be an ironclad svara, which he points out later. It's enough of a svara that even if there's no kedushas Eretz Yisrael in Eilat, but if Eilat is part of, how should I finish the sentence? The land of Israel. I don't want to say Eretz Yisrael, I don't want to say Medina Yisrael, whatever it is, it's part of Israel under one authority, whatever you want to call that authority. I don't have what you just said. If that's the case, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, then it should have a din of Eretz Yisrael. Even if it doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, even if it doesn't have any mitzvahs, Hatzlius by Eretz Yisrael. And therefore... I did cut and paste. This is a long tshuva. I did cut and paste a lot. He did have five steps to build up to this, which I skipped. No. It's just, it's just about it. It's laid out as it is. Based on this, what does Rav Shlomo Zalman say? Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's not clear. Look at source number 16, with which we'll finish. Cheshvani zeh, she'ein zeh kol kach bor, she'chayovim sham b'yom tosheni. I'm not so clear that you have to have yom tosheni. Vimrak safek hu, and if it's a taka, it's only a safek. Yesh lelech achar din Torah, you should follow only the din daraisa. And therefore, because of this suffix that he has some other suffix which we didn't mention, and this fabulous svara, the fact that if we pass like the Ritva, that it depends not on how far the shluchim get, but what is called Eretz Yisrael. Well, if Eilat is called Eretz Yisrael, even if there's no kedusha, even if there are no mitzvahs, but if Eilat is called Eretz Yisrael, it's going to have the din of, like the Ritva says, Eretz Yisrael versus Golus. Yom Tosheni Yisrael, Golios. Eilat is not Golios, it's Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says Shlomo Zalman, concludes Shlomo Zalman, you'd only have one day of Yontif in Eretz Yisrael, in Eilat, not 2 days. Even if it's not a good Sfara, it's enough of a suffix to be made along with the other sikhs, which I didn't have in source number 15 and 16. And there is, by the way, we could finish with this, a beautiful Sfara. You could go now, this is just a cute thing. The Meshech Chachma asks an incredible question. That is a brilliant question. The Gemara says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael?
I'm just
going to
ask
him
that
tomorrow. What's the obvious question? Why did the Gemara said? There's a more fundamental question. That's the Gemara's answer to Mekayim the Mitzvos. There's a much more simpler answer to that question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Guess what? Because there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban says. It must be, says Meshech Chachma. The Gemara didn't say that because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Jordan, that must have apparently been Mekayim in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Rabbosai, was there Trumas and Maisers today in Jordan? No, because the Gemara in the next line says he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael to do Trumas and Maisers. So that means you have the idea in this Meshech Chachma of Moshe Rabbeinu being in Jordan. On the far side of the Jordan River, not in Eretz Yisrael. There's no mitzvos, but there is a din of Eretz Yisrael. He's fulfilling the mitzvah of Yeshua's Eretz Yisrael, even there. Rabbosai, thank you very much for joining me. And Be'ez Hashem, next week will be a new topic. We should be Zocha to the Geula, Temhera, V'yameinu.